Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
So thankful this morning. You may be seated to be with you. I went to bed Friday night and somehow in the night, during the night, got very ill. And woke up yesterday morning with a temperature, and I was like, oh, great. I've kept myself from all the crud that's going on, and I just prayed, believed God, but I had a plan B. How many know? I had a plan B just in case, but I'm so glad that I am so much better and was able to come this morning. So I said, Boyd, I can't give you my series to preach because it's mine, and but if you could be ready with something, and just in case. But I said, but if there's any way I can be there, I will be there. Even if I'm not 100%, I will be there. So I might not kiss or hug you today too much. Amen. But it's just so good. It's just so good to know that God is on our side. He's with us. And we just keep our eyes on him. Can you say amen to that? Last week, we began a great series, and I've really been looking forward to this series because I believe it's at a moment that all of us are listening with a different ear. Even if you do not believe in New Year's resolutions, somehow there's something about us when we come into the new year that we're looking to do things different. Hey, and this is just a side thought. Did you know January is one of the greatest months to invite a family member or friend that you know that you have a relationship with that isn't faithful to a church somewhere? It's the great because they're looking for new things as well. And how many know, unless we have God where he needs to be, it's very hard to develop those new things. So, hey, be his partner, amen? Invite somebody. This is a great month to invite somebody. But last week, we took you through the first parts, and I made a couple statements. Number one, many people have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. We have hope for a better year. Everyone instinctively starts looking, hey, how can I tweak things? How can I do things a little bit different? But the problem is that if we just have resolutions or we just have new hopes, but we have the same old habits, right? How many know that nothing is going to change, right? Nothing is going to change. And that's where we got the name of this series. And as a matter of fact, I just want to say that everything worthwhile is a little bit uphill from where you're at right now. Hey, to be a better wife or husband, it's just a little bit uphill from where you are right now. Amen? To be a better parent, it's just a little uphill, to get a little better at your job. It's just a little uphill. All the great things in life are a little bit uphill, but how many know we need more than just hope? Amen? So last week we talked to you about three things you need to get uphill, to get into those places that you feel God is calling you, and there's a reason why you desire it. Can I hear a good amen? And so there's three things you need. Number one, we told you that you need hope. Everybody say hope. You need hope. Some of you have tried so long to change things that you wanted to change. And I'm not a big, you know, try to change 75 things. I don't think that works. That's how you lose. But if you will recognize that God has a future and a hope for you that's much better than you can even imagine. Listen to the word of the Lord. The Bible says that he has better things for you than you can even imagine or think of. Right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered into their heart the things that God has prepared. So for you to receive that, you just got to position yourself. So this year should be filled with hope for you. And so I hope that you made a decision last week that I'm going to be a hopeful person. I'm going to fill my heart with hope for the future because you have a God. Do you remember when Jesus said to the woman at the well, she was so stuck, she was so hopeless, and he said, if you only knew the generosity of your God, if you only knew the generosity of your God, and if you only knew who it was you're talking to, the Messiah, right? it would have changed everything. You would have asked for living water. So I just want you to remember that. Hey, come on, lift your hands. Thank God for hope. Amen. Thank God for hope. Say, I'm going to be a prisoner of hope. I'm going to believe for great things. The second thing you needed to go uphill is we said to repent for the past, right? Repent for the past. And repentance is really simple. It means you're facing this way and you just need to turn around and face God. You've been going your own way. Right? And how many can honestly say that there have been times in your life that God said, bro, you need to not just make a resolution, you need to repent. Yes. Oh, God's only talked to me that way, huh? y'all have nothing you need to repent of, right? Change your mind, change your direction so God can change your heart. And I don't know what you need to repent of, but if you just have hope, but you don't get rid of those things that are standing in your way, right? So you've got to repent. You say, well, I can't do it. No, you don't have the strength to do it. But repentance with belief opens up the door to the one who will help you do it because you are not alone. But if you're not able to say, I've been going wrong, I've been going the wrong direction. I love the word of the Lord that says today, if you hear his voice, no matter what you did yesterday, do you know what to do today? Do you know to turn around today? If you can hear him today, don't harden your heart again. Amen. God has good things in store for you. If you believe it, somebody give God praise. Amen. And number three, you just need to form, if you're going to go uphill, you just need to form the uphill habits that God is asking you to form. And these aren't hard. Yeah, they're not as easy as going downhill, but the Bible says the way of the wicked is hard. It may be easy up front to eat all you want, whenever you want, however you want, right? It may be easy up front to do that, but it's not going to give you life on the back end. It may be easy up front to be in a marriage and just make it all about you. That may be very easy for your flesh, but how many know that that's actually hard? Come on. That's going to be a hard life. That's not going to bring the life that you want. So it's not that they're hard. It's just that they're going to take intentionality. And that's why you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is asking you to change. Because if you got 10 things on your list, I'm going to tell you right now what's going to be different. This is going to be different, and this is going to be different, and I'm going to do this, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You probably won't get, but you may not get any of those done. Because you're relying on your strength. And the truth of the matter is, there are other habits. There are sometimes there are other beings. Sometimes there are other things in the seat that you are going to be pushing out. And you don't have the energy to do that in 75 areas. But if you'll hear the Lord, oh, come on. If you'll hear the Lord, David, I'm changing this. I'm working on this. And then you begin to make some uphill habits in those areas. You know what'll begin to happen? Those areas will actually have an influence on other areas. It'll be like a domino. You do the thing God tells you to do, and he'll take care of some of the goals you weren't even aiming for. Come on, somebody. And I think this is very, very important that we don't try too much. But how many know we got to try? I said, we got to try. God does not put the blessings in your hands. He puts them in your reach. God respects and loves a reacher. Amen. And so this is what we have to let God. So today, as we come to today, right, I want to talk to you about our number one habit. And over the next few weeks, I'm actually gonna give you four different habits that probably will be in line with what God is talking to you about. Does that make sense to you today? Number one habit that I want to talk to you about today is focus on what I do first. Focus on what I do first. What is it that you do first? And do you have the habits to make sure you're doing the right things first? It's very interesting. And so where do I need to focus what I'm doing first? Well, number one, put God first. Everybody say God first. Put God first. Put God first. First place. See, there's a principle called the law of first. It's all throughout the scripture. There's a law of first mention. And when you see something mentioned the first time, and it's a major doctrinal area, you will find that there are many ingredients about it and much understanding where it was first mentioned. You will find that when God took them in the garden, how many recognize that there was something that he put that was substantial among them so that they could always know that that belonged to God, that they were putting God first. They had all the trees to take care of, but there was one tree that belonged to God. They had to prune it. They had to take care of it. They had to water it, right? They had to make sure it was doing good, but they couldn't eat it. They couldn't eat it. Leave that one for me, God said. How many know we blew it there? Amen. We blew it there. But put God first. It's the principle of first. Now, God does not mind if you deeply love or really, really, really like other things. He just wants to be first. Amen. And you know, he doesn't want to be first because he's like your spouse. You know how sometimes we are as spouses, right? We just, you know, it's like there was an old farmer. I mean, he was like way out in the backwoods years ago, and they lived a long way from town. And she said, "Honey," she said, "you haven't told me you love me for a long time." And he said, "Well, if it had changed, I would have told you." I don't see what the problem is. How many know, guys, we need to be a little more sensitive? Amen? Amen? No, as spouses, we need that recognition that we're still loved, right? We need that. We're supposed to give that to one another, aren't we? We're supposed to say, "I love you" in a way that our spouse understands that. Amen? But see, your God's not like that. He's not asking to be first because you see, just, "I just want to know that I'm first. I just want to know." No, he wants that because when he's first, you begin to function the way he called you to function. You begin to have the life that he wants. It's his motivation for you. Listen, God doesn't want you to come to church for him. God wants you to come to church for you. He wants to be first in your life, not for himself. He wants to be first for you. Because then the things that bind you and entangle you and hurt you will not have the power in their life when you learn how to put God first. But you know, our life is kind of like a house, isn't it? It's like a house. And when we finally realize that we need Jesus, we open up the door, and how many know he comes into our life? And how many know in a house, usually the first thing you walk into is some type of vestibule or entrance. How many know the bedroom isn't at the front door, right? The closet isn't at the front door. No, usually a living room or a family room or an entry area. And many people let Jesus in, and he's very happy to come in and be in the entryway, but he doesn't stay there. He's like, "Hey, I want, why don't you bring me into this room?" Right? And then as he begins to take over these rooms in our life, he's Savior, but all of a sudden, and he's Lord of all, but we don't know all that he wants to be Lord of when we're new believers. And then we make him Lord of something else, and then something else, right? And a lot of times we're like, we've got this closet that's really messy. We're like, "Lord, you do not want to be in there." A lot of times those closets are filled with pains and bondages and stuff that sins that we do because of hurts that we will not let him heal us from. And he won't ever push the door down. He doesn't push the front door down. But see, he can be your Savior, but not yet your Lord. But he will not be content to just be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. Can I hear a good amen? He wants to be your Lord. And you need Jesus to be first in your life. I need Jesus to be first in my life. When Jesus is first in my life, then I have the energies and the power that I need to be all that I need to be in those other areas. Can I hear a big amen? See, so victorious Christian life begins to happen when Jesus becomes Lord of all. And I'm going to twist the context a little bit, but how many know the Bible starts in the beginning, God? And that's a good concept. And I'm wondering if we can take that, right, in 2020. We want God to be in our beginning. In the beginning, God. Let God be in the beginning. Amen? Let God be in the beginning. Let God be first in your life. Amen? And we all know this is true, but sometimes we don't have the habits that support that. That was even the first of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that? Remember that? Listen to it. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, no other loves or passions before me. And how many know that you're only supposed to have one big G in your life? Come on, gangster. You're supposed to have one big G in your life. And you may have some little G's, but it's amazing how those little G's want to become the big G, right? And it could just be little things. It's not, and they'll always contest for it, right? They'll always contest for it. We have so many distractions in our life. And, you know, we've got so many little G's that are fighting to be big G. I remember when I first discovered golf. I mean, I didn't know that I was loving it, that it was trying to get number one in my life, but I would think about golf when I wasn't there, right? And then I would watch videos on how to improve my swing. And I don't know what it was, Al, but the very first time that I hit that ball and that went like, you know, up in the air and came down on that green, I was like, oh. I mean, that was awesome. Right? And then but how many know if you're going to do that again, what did I do? How did I hold that? How was my stance? And you're constantly thinking about it. And one day, I can remember the first winter, I loved it so much, and I kept my clubs. So if I had a moment, my wife is going shopping or something else has happened, I'd head over to Ridgecrest, Executive 9, $10 back then. Yeah, $10 for as many times as you. I would go three times through those nine holes sometimes, right? And I'd look at my clubs, and my heart would just pitter-patter when I see my clubs in the corner. Now, you making fun of me, but I didn't even know it. And one day, it was just like, oh, my heavens. I'm building a church here. I'm building a family here. I don't have time for golf to have that much of my life. And I just said, God, I don't want it to have anything. And you know what? It was like I went out there, and I was like, eh. I still love it, but it was like I kind of fell out of love with it, right? I'd gotten a little bit obsessive. How many might have a little bit of that kind of personality with things, right? Yeah. You know, God doesn't mind that you have some of these things in your life. He doesn't mind that. He's not jealous of that. But remember, things will not stay content to just be a small G. Amen? And you've got to be determined that he's going to be number one. So how do I ensure that God stays first? And I'm going to give you these things. This is what I do. Amen? Because unless you have uphill habits to ensure that he's first, you will embrace the concept, but you will go forward thinking he's first, but living your life in a way that really he's not. Listen to it. How do we do that? Number one, give God the first of everything. Give him the first of everything. Right? Put God first, then give him the first of everything. The first of everything. And I love this in Genesis chapter 27 and 30. It says, a tithe of everything. I know the context is of the land, but a tithe of everything. Did you know God doesn't just want a tithe of your finances? He would like your time. He'd like to be first in your time. He would like to be first in your day. He would like to be first in your attitudes. He would like to be first. Listen to it. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. And God says it's holy unto the Lord. He sets it aside as his own. Amen? And a lot of times we preach tithing, and people have preached tithing the wrong way. And we just think of tithing is like our responsibilities to build God's house on the earth. It is. It is. That's what God uses it for, right? But that's not the reason that you're to give. Amen? As a matter of fact, I love Deuteronomy out of the Living Bible because this is what actually happens when you begin to tithe. Look at it. It says, the purpose of tithing and giving is to teach you to always put God first place in your life. I want you to just think of the concept of giving to God, giving finances to God. You went out and you worked for those finances, didn't you? You exchanged energy. You exchanged time. You exchanged labor, time that you can't get back, right? And you got compensated for that, didn't you? Talk to me, family. You got compensated. You traded that for some cash, right? Or some other thing, right? And so when you come and you give to the Lord, you're not just giving money, you're literally giving a part of your life. This is why money holds such a snare in many people's hearts, right? But when you do that, but it's not just about the money. Listen, God is trying to help you. He's trying to help you learn from the tithe. If I honor God first, then my life is going to be long to him in a greater way. Can you say amen to that? Amen? So I give God the first of everything, but not just money. Let me tell you what I mean. So how do I give God first place? How do I give him the first of everything? Number A, listen to it. Give God the first of my year. Give God the first of my year. This is one of the reasons why last year we started our 21 days of fasting and prayer, where we're not going to pray maybe like we prayed in November. Amen. Not that we didn't pray in November, but we're going to be a little bit more intentional than any month in the year, right? Because it's the start of our new year. It's a way to say, God, we're going to give you January and the rest of it belongs to you. Someone said to me, why are we starting so late if we want to give God the first? Well, that's because we want to give God the first, but how many recognize it's not a formula, it's a heart motive. And to be honest with you, I had half of my team gone, and we were just trying to do everything that we were supposed to do. Sickness, boy, has it been weird this year? So many people have had pink eye and flus, and I don't think we've ever had that much sickness in our area. I've never experienced a year like I have seen people struggle with in their family. Come on, how many people have struggled in family unusually this last Christmas throughout this last year? Yeah. It was all over, and it seemed like a bunch of our team was taken out. We were actually going to start today, and I just said, we need more time to talk about it, right? We were so busy taking care of stuff, so we're going to push it back. We're going to push it back a week. But how many know it kind of fits the principle anyway? It's not about the letter of the law. It's about the heart. Amen. It's about the heart. Amen? So we've set aside January 19th through the 8th. And I want you to take this card out. And these are times we're saying as a church family, we're going to have times of prayer. If you've never been to one of our prayer meetings, listen, there's singing. We don't just sit there and pray for a whole hour. It's exactly an hour. And normally last year we did it at 6 o'clock in the morning. But what we heard is, I mean, that's my favorite time to do it. But what we heard was, we wish you could do it another time. So look what we've done. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we're having it in the afternoon. And many of you work in the Nampa area, or you can adjust your schedule. Maybe you're retired, that you can be here on those afternoons, right? Some of you maybe can only be here on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the 6 a.m. Me and our team, we're going to be here. We're going to be praying at all these prayer meetings. And then some of you work at night. So we've got one at 6 p.m. every Friday night. Amen? Maybe you can only come the next three Friday nights. We're going to do Saturdays at 9 a.m. We're starting next Sunday. We'll have a special time of prayer in the service, but we're doing this to dedicate ourselves to God. And how many believe that, man, you can get here for at least one of these a week? How many know every one of us can get here for one of these a week? Every one of us. But I'm not asking you to only do this when you're here. I'm asking you to join with us for these 3 weeks to pray more than you ever pray. To pray more than you usually pray. Let's really tune in. And I'm calling this church to prayer to really tune in to the Spirit of God for our lives. Let's give the first part of this year to God. And then we're adding something to this prayer. We actually fast with it. We do 7 days of prayer. I like to call it prayer and feasting, because there's no fasting in the 7 days in August or September, whenever we do that. Before our conference, we can feast. Amen. But this time we're fasting. We're fasting during this time. And you know, everyone in our church can fast. Amen? Jesus, one day they asked Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? He said, because I'm here. He says, when I get taken away, they're going to have times of fasting. You know? And so we're going to have prayer and fasting. Amen? And so on our website, we have some different types of fasting. You'll be able to find it on our website. Go there. Starting tomorrow, they will be up by tomorrow. Go to those links and check them out. Pray about it. But I'm going to give you 4 types of fast, and every one of you can do one of these fasts. Number one is the complete fast. What is that? That's when you just go totally on water. And I'm not suggesting you go 21 days on water only, unless you can pretty much... pretty much do nothing else. Amen. Right? But you'd be surprised, actually, at how easy that is. I've never done a full 21 days. But I'm told once you get past the 7th day, there's a grace that you enter into, and it becomes much easier to accomplish. Do you know the benefits of fasting? Food. There's so many benefits to your body, to reset your body. Some of you just can't do that. And I would encourage, if you want to do 21 days, I would encourage you to do it with juice if you've never done it before. Do a juice fast. That's a serious fast, but that's not the only type of fast. There's also a selective fast, right? What is that? That's when you fast from certain foods. A Daniel fast is that way. On a Daniel fast, you don't eat meat, you don't eat bread, and you don't eat sugar, right? So you have beans, lentils, fruit, vegetables, and you just eat like that for the 21 days. And every one of you can do that. You just need to, it's going to take a little bit of work, and you want to increase your prayer times, right? And then there's a partial fast, right? There's a partial fast. You know, on that selective fast, some of you may want to, maybe you just eat too much broccoli. You may want to just fast broccoli. I'm going off of broccoli for 3 weeks. For you, God. Just kidding. A partial fast, right? That's where you fast some meals. You know, a Jewish fast, they fast from sunrise till sunset, and then they eat, right? And then they eat a meal with their family and everything. You may want to do that. And then my favorite is number 4, a soul fast. And that's where you fast an activity. Maybe social media. You see, your soul needs to detox. Not only does your body, but sometimes our soul needs to detox. You know what? I'm going to go off of all media, and I'm just going to use this time to draw close to God, to have prayer. How many know that's a very worthwhile fast? That's a very worthwhile fast. Media, social media, and any of these things, it's very worthwhile. How many realize everybody can do this? And I want you to understand something. I want to tell you the importance of this. And I downplayed this for years, but until the Holy Spirit showed me this. One day, the disciples who had been given power to cast out devils, do you remember that story? They'd been given power to cast out devils. And the Bible says that they came across this man and his son, and they couldn't cast out the devil. And so the father, Jesus came down from the mountain, and the father came to Jesus and brought his son. He said, we brought him to your disciples, and he couldn't do anything. And Jesus said, you wicked and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you? I mean, he was not talking to the father and the son. He was talking to his disciples. And when you recognize what Jesus was saying, he wasn't being mean, right? What he was basically saying is, hey, guys, along this journey, somehow, you're not close enough to God, but you've gotten too close to the world. We pray so that we can draw closer to God. We fast so we can disconnect from the world. And that brings a power in your life. And I promise you, if you will do a fast and you will increase your prayer time and you will give God the first of this year, you'll see a radical thing. God, I believe, is going to do something incredible in your life. I am really believing for a supernatural encounter from my life that comes from this time of fasting. So I give God the first of my year. How else do I give God first place? I give God the first of my month. I give God the first of my month, right? And what I mean by that is like, in other words, you have to sit down with your calendar and your budget. And you have to make sure that you put on God's eyes to look at your... Have I planned God out of my life? Does God have room in my schedule? I'll just tell you what me and my family do. Years ago, I got a revelation of the law of first. And I just said, I want us to always do that. We agreed as a family that we're always going to give to God first. The very first thing that is done from our increase, whatever increase it is, the very first thing it is done before, if I've been increased, the very first thing I do is I bring God his part. The beginning of my month. Amen. I give the beginning to the Lord. I give the first to the Lord. Amen. And then I make sure that I'm having time for my family, and I make sure we have time for our God. Can you say amen to that? So give him the first of your month. But then give him the first of your week. And here you are. You guys are already doing that. You're in the house of the Lord. And I really want to share this with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to teach this year on the Sabbath, because God has been speaking to me some things about the Sabbath that I understood in part, but not to the way that I'm supposed to understand it. How many know that we don't keep the Sabbath as a matter of law as they did in the Old Covenant? Because the Sabbath, as a matter of fact, it's interesting, the keep the Sabbath is actually the only Ten Commandment that's not repeated somewhere in the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? And Hebrews tells you why, because it was a type and shadow of Jesus, who was the rest that we're to all enter into. Can you say amen to that? But what most of us have done is we have blown away the whole idea of Sabbath, and we're like, day of rest? What? No, we got too much to do. And I started in the beginning of the year like I often do in Genesis. And as I was reading, I saw how God, when he made the seventh day, he didn't need a time of rest, but he sanctified it and he set it aside. And in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, they moved from Sabbath to the first day of the week. And the reason they did that is two reasons. Number one, Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, right? But number two, listen to it. They wanted God to have the first of their week. And it's not that we don't pray the rest of our week. It's just that day is dedicated to the Lord. Amen? And so you've already done that. You've already done that today. But family, I'm going to be teaching on this. And I just want to deposit this thought, because there's some people who are going to get it right now. You're going to get it right now. You're going to get it right now. It's for you. I'll bring more teaching for it later. Don't just give him the hour you go to church. Give him the day. What the Holy Spirit is telling me is if we would find the original purpose for the Sabbath and follow it, not as a matter of being right with God, that we would get more done in our life, that we would have more peace, that we would not be carrying the anxiety that we carry because we're not resting. Did you know farmers even got to rest the field to get the nutrients out of it? But we just think, oh, I can just keep going. You know? And so what is the Sabbath for? The Sabbath is for rest. The Sabbath is for worship, so we come. And the Sabbath is for divine relationships. People that deposit into you and that you deposit, that you would spend your time in those kind of activities of relationship. Take a nap. Come on, somebody. You say, I don't want to take a nap. Well, that's okay. But if there's a day that you should feel okay about taking a nap, it's Sunday. Come to church in the morning. Sir, worship the Lord. Amen. And then don't have that day filled with lawn mowing and all. You do fun stuff. Be in relationship. Gather, pray, worship, honor God. Rest your soul. Divert your soul with some fun things. Some things that don't take a lot of work, amen? Hey, if you're going to eat out on that day. Don't spend a lot of time cooking up some meal. Just make it easy. Make it easy. Come on. Put the crock pot on. Just make it. We're not going to do a lot of work today. We're just going to give ourselves to our relationship with God, to the rest of our soul and our body, and to our family. It's all about our family. It's all about loved ones, amen, that God has us to connect with. I think Sabbath is a great night to have connect group. It's a great night. It's a great night, right? To because you're meeting in relationship. And how many know our souls are filled with people? You enjoying this today? Give the first of our week. Give the first of our year. Give the first of my month. Give the first of my week. What else? Give the first of my day. Give the first of my day. Amen? One of the things that years ago I started doing, because I love to have my prayer time in the morning, first thing. But I got to be honest with you. We started getting up so early and that it's really hard to do the kind of prayer time that I like to have with the Lord. Because my wife goes to the gym really early, like 2 or 3 days a week. And I've just made a vow. I mean, we've done it for years. The very first thing I do in the day is make her coffee. And she wakes up with me bringing her coffee. And we sit in bed in the very beginning, as long as we have. Some days it's an hour, some days it's a half hour, you know. And we just have that time. And, you know, when she's getting up at 5:30 and I got to have the coffee to her by 5:30, it becomes really hard to get up at 4:30. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I realized I'm getting in I like to give an hour a day to the Lord of prayer and the word and worship. I like to do that. But God gave me this thing of, no, I'm just going to give my first to you, Lord. I'm just going to give the first. I'm going to give my first to you. And you may not be a morning prayer person, but I think everybody in here can give the first part of their day for the Lord. I mean, no, I only have to get up at 5. I got the water all ready to be boiled. I got everything there ready to go. The coffee is in the pot. We do French press every morning. I love French press. Right? And I got everything all ready to go. So all I got to do is hit the water, and I start my 15 minutes with the Lord. 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes of worship, right? And just 5 minutes of prayer, connecting with God, just connecting with Him. You would be surprised before you talk to anybody if you would learn to give God the first 15. I promise you, if you could do that for the next 365 days, when you come back, you say, my life is different. It's different. But you know what happens? We sleep to the last second. We're all groggy. We stay up way too late. We go flying out of bed. We're trying to get to work. We're yelling at everybody, right? The kids are fighting us. Come, and I know it's too close. I have not been at your house. We are not spying, okay? I'm talking 15 minutes before all the action happens. Together in a still moment, in a still place. Right? And just worship. Play one song on your, put it on, put your music on your phone, play one song and just take a moment and worship God. Read your scripture, pray to God, connect with Him, our Father. Lift your hands, walk your floor. Can you say amen to that? give God the first of my day. And my final point is, when you honor God with the principle of first, here's the law. If you honor God with the first, God will always bless the rest. He'll always bless the rest. Amen. Expect God to bless the rest. Expect God to bless the rest. When you give him the tithe, expect that your money's going to go farther. When you give him the first of your day, expect that that's going to be a better day. Come on, somebody. When you give God the first and you've started with worship, expect God to bless the rest. Look at Proverbs 3. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Right? In other words, honor the Lord with all your possessions, your wealth, with the first fruits of your increases. How many know our wealth is not just financial? Amen? With the first part of your increase, that's just another word for tithe, the first part, the first fruit, right, of your increase. Then, look at the principle, then your barns will be filled, overflowing, and your vats will overflow with new wine. When you give God the first, the rest is blessed. How many glad you came to the house of the Lord today? Let's all stand together. I want you wherever you're at. Nobody leaving yet. We're just going to take a moment just to do this very thing, to make God first.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whalen, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.